Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening on this lovely Mother's Day to all you. Here we go. Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, JoJo Pamaria and Saroma, and I'm also live streaming across YouTube on my channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. Now, last week, even though it was May, I was completing my broadcast theme from April, which was Core Wound Alchemy, and I finished up with the liberated heart. And so now I want to step into the theme of May, which is right relations. And it really is kind of a natural developmental step, if you will, once you have taken on that commitment and practice of cleaning up, cleaning out, and taking on the healing process from your core wounds, you know, turning that lead into gold. Now, according to the wisdom I keep, May is the first earth month of the year. And the earth energy is all about nurturing, care, home, comfort, abundance. Yeah. And here in the Northern Hemisphere, it really is a time when we get to see the flowers blooming and the trees ripening and the grass becoming greener. It's like our preview to the summer, and it really is what it's a springtime. It's a part of springtime that we look for, because it begins to feel more comfortable in the air. Even here in Southern California, we've been much cooler and wetter than we've been in many years, and so there's just lots of beautiful consequence to all that moisture and the beauty of the flowers and the beautiful scents. There's like jasmine bushes that the scent is so incredible. So for us, in terms of our spiritual growth and development, an earth month, an earth time, and in a mineral year is a time for that abundance, that comfort. You know, it's like an opening. It's an opening of our heart even, and our minds to be able to receive. It's like a receiving time. So we're being asked to step into vulnerability at this time in May. So for those of you who may be listening in or looking for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of what my program is about. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast and YouTube live, and unless I'm on hiatus, which happens. And if for some reason you can't access the internet to listen or watch my program, you can listen to the live radio broadcast and or call into the show at this number. It's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link that I provide for the radio broadcast on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or you may receive it through a constant contact email, that serves as an archive link, which becomes available within 15 minutes after I complete the broadcast. So if you're unable to listen live, you can listen later. And hopefully most of my regular listeners are somewhere out having dinner with their mommies or being taken to dinner by their family in honor of their being a mother. So right now I invite you to sit or lay back, open your mind, open your heart as we go on an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. So I thought for Mother's Day, in the honoring of the ancestors, I'd tell you a story. And again, for those of you maybe listening for the first time, I always start off my program by honoring the ancestors. These are the persons whose shoulders we're standing upon, the ones we're beholding to for who and what we are today. And I honor both the good ancestors and the bad ancestors, because our souls have grown as a result of both. And so I wanted to just share a story about my mother. Her name is Dolores Matthews. And it is a story about when she was dying. My mother died from lung cancer that had metastasized into both a brain tumor and also tumors throughout her abdominal system. And so she was in a lot of pain. And she had been diagnosed 2 years prior to this return, if you will, of the cancer. She had a lump removed off of her lung. but she hadn't taken any chemo or radiation. It wasn't recommended at the time. So her cancer did grow back, and it grew back bad. So it was about an 8-month period of the end of her life, and I was able to leave my home in Milwaukee and go down to part-time in my job. It was very generous of them to keep me on, and I worked over the internet and over the phone as much as I could, as you can imagine. But there was a lot of going back and forth to the hospital and just a lot of dealing with the fact that she was dying. And I remember at one point, and this story is just giving an idea of the strength of my mother. She was just one of the strongest women I know of or ever met. And it was strong in terms of her ability to meet the truth and to hold the truth, to live the truth, and to have that expectation for others to be able to do the same. And so it was at a point where I kind of sensed things were bad, but you know, you don't want to have to think about that. You want to have to think about the end. But I was at a point where I was getting tired. I was getting tired and I was weary. And so her regular healthcare worker had come by and examined her, and I was escorting her out the door. And I stopped her and I said, you know, you do this for a lot of people, so I know you seem a lot, and I just need to know, what do you think in regards to my mother's state? And she looked at me and she said, it won't be long. And hearing those words just like cut into me like a knife, because on the one hand, yeah, I mean, rationally I knew my mother's dying. She's dying from cancer. But to hear somebody validate that in that way, and I asked for it, but still it emotionally just really tore me up. So I had been probably 5 months of the process, I had just been really trying not to emote in front of my mother. I'd go to a church at night, at midnight, you know, talk with my friends, you know, or just go out and take a walk in the supermarket, and I'd be crying down the aisle. But I did not show it to her because I thought that that would be upsetting to her. But I go back upstairs into the bedroom, and I just couldn't hold it in. I just couldn't hold it in. It just spilled out. And I was saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't want to do it in front of you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she looked at me and she said, it's about time. I was wondering how you all were taking this. And I'm just like, oh, my God. And she was like, okay. Now, I want you to go into my bottom drawer over there and pull out these insurance papers because I really need some help with looking at this. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, now that we can deal with the fact that I'm dying and I got some stuff I need to get in the order. And, yeah, I mean, she's just incredible. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I also learned, too, that it is okay to emote around somebody who is leaving this world, because that let her know that she was loved. We only grieve that and who we love. And so my tears really said to her, yeah, you're going to be missed. You are going to be loved. And to this day, I do miss my mother. And I connect with things that she liked to do, like listening to Wagnerian opera and wonderful classical music and other opera and things like that I could appreciate with her. And whenever I do those things, I feel very close to her and so grateful. So I'm calling out to all the mothers, all the mother ancestors, all the grandmothers, all the great-grandmothers and great-great-great-grandmothers. And I'm saying, ancestors, 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 we are so grateful that you were mothers. You're so grateful that you brought us forth into this world, that you were willing to take on those 9 months of gestation with all of the trials and tribulations it brought, And then to again stick around and be with us, or if you couldn't stick around, of course your hearts were always connected to us, whether you knew it or not. But we are just so, so grateful for the mothers, and we ask and thank you for being guides to us as we experience ourselves as mothers or doing mothering for children that didn't come through our bodies. Help us, help us, help us have the courage, the strength, the wisdom, and the patient endurance to be able to be of service in a mothering way. And again, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for being our ancestral mothers. And Creator, I ask and thank you for this blessing of the ancestral mothers. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. Ashe Ahosah, Shinka Bismillah. So it is. So it is. So I have a little bit of astrological information for you. And of course, always I have a elemental wisdom, and I'll start with that. Because this Tuesday, which is the beginning of the elemental week, because January 1st was on a Tuesday, so February 14th through Monday, May 20th, we're going to be in a mineral week, in a mineral year, in an earth month. And it's all about remembering your purpose. This is about allowing the power of love to remind you of whom you truly are, what you really want to do, have, and be in your life. Follow your heart and soul and take the necessary risk to experience your true power and uniqueness. Really, really beautiful and so important for the month of May. So with opportunities, there's always going to be distractions. And here are a few to be aware of so that you can shift them and say no to them. One is choosing to stay in confusion. So when something shows up that's connected to your purpose and you feel that in your gut, don't be confused about it. Don't try to say, oh, no, that's not really real. And, oh, no, that couldn't happen for me. Oh, no, 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 no. Claim it. Claim it. Because you're wasting your time and energy staying in the confusion. But just claim it and then deal with the emotions that will come up. And it's like, oh, my God, it's really happening. Engaging in melodramas. Again, it's just another distraction to really being on purpose. Taking on problems and challenges that you may have the ability to tackle, but which aren't for you to do because they're not in alignment with your higher purpose. And, you know, I always wanted people please. You know, I think I was born with that as part of my sacred contract, like always try to people please. I think all of us do. But we get to a point where we have to accept that we're not God and we can't do everything for everybody. And again, even if it's something that we have the ability to do, doesn't mean that we're supposed to do it. So we have to really listen and trust our gut when it says, no, that's not where you're supposed to be, not what you're supposed to do, and to honor that and to trust that, you know, if the person really loves you, they'll be okay. And if they don't really love you, they won't be okay. And maybe that just means that it's time to bless and disconnect. So fear of failure, and I should add into that fear of success, because when purpose comes knocking, not only we may be concerned, can I really do this, can I make this, but we also may be concerned like, oh my God, what happens if I do this, everything's going to change, it's going to shift everything up, I'm going to be disrupted and messy, and you know, but that's just the way the universe works. And then last but not least is procrastination. So, for example, knowing that there's something you need to do that's aligned with your purpose, a step you need to take, a letter you need to write, a check you need to write, whatever it is, be conscious that you can get slowed down. And that's just that self-sabotage showing up. And don't procrastinate. Call on the ancestors. Call on your God to help you push through those emotional blocks so that you can experience your true power and uniqueness. Now, next Tuesday after this, the 21st, we'll begin a water week. Should be very interesting. And of course, I'll tell you about that in the next broadcast and live stream. Now, for astrological, we just finished a new moon, and it really opened some stuff up, like, whoa, because it was a new moon in Libra. So we have a full moon coming up, but right before that, I want to share this information. It comes from Astro Butterfly. So on the 15th, on Wednesday, we have Venus entering Taurus. The reason this is important is because this will be the first time in 80 years that Venus is sharing Taurus with her mythological father, Uranus. So big news was that Uranus moved into Taurus out of Aries. And what that meant was, you know, we are now set to have a whole different kind of energy happening for the kinds of transformations and transitions that should be happening for humanity. Uranus is the big old planet, like the godfather of the planets, you could say. He's the OG of all the planets. And so it's a very powerful energy. That's Venus's father. So this whole thing of the father and the daughter meeting in the sign of Taurus, in the home, right, in the place of abundance and nurturing, very, very, very good energy. And so Astro Butterfly says, Venus is what you hold dear to your heart, what matters to you. May is your opportunity to understand the reason why you value what you value. In other words, you'll get some more clarity about it. So, for example, if getting married is very important to you, now you can understand why that is. If having a family is important to you, now you will understand why, and on and on and on. So, so on the 15th, we'll be getting that energy, adding it into the mix of all this wonderful stuff that's going on. Now, the full moon shows up on the 18th, so that will be, Saturday. That will be on Saturday. And it's in the sign of Scorpio. Scorpio is a water sign, but it's the really edgy water sign, you know. If Pisces is that gentle stream, and if Cancer is kind of the beginnings of the ocean, you know, Scorpio is like that depth of the ocean. It's the really deep part. Could also be a tsunami. So this energy that's coming in for this full moon can stimulate the letting go process and learning to surrender and trust life. So what that dictates into is, if you are feeling stuck, you're going to be given some help to be pushed forward, And this information is coming from Barbara Goldsmith, another astrologer I really like. And she says, can you try something new? Are you too afraid to step out? This full moon brings a great opportunity to break free of the old and create something new. She says it's also conducive for making a great deal of money and for creating something of lasting value. And so, of course, these are things that it comes to fruition. She says you may find a talent you have needs to be unearthed. Perhaps something you longed to do when you were young but were never encouraged to pursue it. What was your dream? Now may be its time. Yeah. So some fun things, some fun opportunities and energies to look forward to as we move into this mid part of, and I can't believe that already, we're moving into the mid part of the month of May. Things have really been cracking. Okay, I am now going to check the time. Okay, I'm great. Now I'm going to move into my theme for May of right relations. And I'm going to give you my definition of what that is, what I mean when I'm talking right relations. And I'm going to also talk about why it's important. Now, usually when I do a topic, I will lay out for myself three parts, like a beginning, a middle, and an end. But I didn't do that this time. I did do a little bit of beginning, but I really wanted to just open myself up to what needed to come through me or out of me around this topic, because it's that important. And I wanted to be open to what Spirit wanted to show up for us, because I include myself in this. This is such an important topic. So just to let you know, I will try to stay mindful of time, too. I need to make sure my little phone here is working. Okay. I'll stay mindful of the time, because I could probably riff on this for at least a day, but we'll get as much in as we need to. So, right relations. I first heard this term when I was doing some work with a Native American man who was doing and teaching about Native American culture, indigenous culture, and ritual, and really ceremony, things for ceremonies. And part of that was doing sweat lodge. And I always liked that term, right relations, like that. I said, oh, yeah, that really sounded good, makes sense. And basically what it is in the indigenous world, because it also rings true for Africa, and I'm sure for the Australian indigenous culture, and even for the European indigenous culture and the Celtics and around, it's about the practice of reciprocity. The practice of reciprocity between humans and humans, humans and animals, humans and nature, and humans and the universe. Yeah. And right relations is that things are to be in balance. Reciprocity is about the balance of give and take, take and give. That so that there's this balance, there's this harmony that exists. Now, it's very hard for us as humans, having especially come through the last several centuries, and even before that, but definitely leading up to World War II, it's hard for us to think that our nature, our natural way of being, is to be in harmony, to be in flow, to be peace-filled, to be loving. Because we are so used to the battle. We're so used to life is a battle, it's a fight. If I don't strike first, somebody's going to get me, you know. And so it's really hard for us to remember and realize that no, the way things are really supposed to work is we're supposed to be in right relations. So, you know, Native Americans, First Nations people have been here on the North American continent for over 4,000 years. And they had a whole system of reciprocity, of right relations, in order to be here for that long and do as well as they did in terms of having their communities and having their culture thrive. And so one of the practices is that if you take anything from the earth, when you plant, you put a seed in, even before you put the seed in, you ask permission. You ask permission, you do a ceremony, and you say to the earth, I would like to be able to have you share food with me. So I'm asking your permission to be able to plant the seed. Or if there is something that's already growing, like fruit on a tree, you would ask permission before you took the fruit. And in Native American tradition, you use tobacco, which is considered the most sacred plant on the earth. You know, it was not for smoking. They smoked what's called kinnikinick, which is made up of different kinds of herbs and things, but they didn't smoke tobacco. Tobacco was what you use as an offering, as a faith gesture, as an exchange for what you would take from nature, plants and animals. So you lay down some tobacco, you make your request, lay down some tobacco, and then you would do it. And so it was this whole practice of, you know, if I'm going to take something, I need to first ask permission. And when I do take it, I need to lay something in place, put something in place. Industrialism and just the insanity of immigrants coming to this country and needing to survive and coming out of what they came out of in Europe and other places around the world, really disrupted that practice. There was this belief that, oh my God, we've landed to paradise and there's all this wonderful stuff here and it's abundant and let's just use it. And, you know, whole forests were cut down to the detriment of eventually the population because, you know, they were like little kids. And so eventually they realized, oh, if I cut down all the forests and I don't plant something in its place, then I won't have any more trees to cut down. Oh, really? You know, or if I dig in a mine and I cut down a mountain and then there's no more mountain to dig in, that I won't be able to get any more coal. Oh, I didn't think about that. You know, it's like crazy stuff, crazy, crazy stuff. It all came out of the insanity of survival. So right relations is not about survival in that fear-based way. Right relations is I trust that everything that I need is going to be provided to me. And so I can take my time and I can make a request and I can make sure that I am giving back. And then I'm willing to give back because sometimes maybe the giving back didn't happen right in that moment. It wasn't like putting a nickel in a slot. Maybe it took a couple of years, something like that. But there was this consciousness that, you know, it's give and take, there's give and take. So what does that mean for us in the 21st century? What does that mean for us in the 21st century? I think it really, really means a lot. There's a man by the name of, I think his last name is Jarrett, or maybe Jarrett Diamond, I think is his name. And he's a somebody who studies, you know, humanity's experience on the earth. And he did this book called I'm not going to remember it. I ain't going to try. I'm going to mess it up. But anyway, he wrote this book, it's a history book, about the impact of Europeans going into Africa and bringing guns. Oh, that's what it was. It was guns, steel, and germs. So that they brought guns, they brought steel for making weapons, and they brought germs. And the impact that that has had over the last several centuries. So now he's got a new book out, you know, so he does that kind of analysis, like, let's look at what happened. Let's see how it's affecting things today. And so now he's got one out about what's going on with the world, where we're headed. And he says that by the year 2040, the earth will not be what we experience of it today, that things will be very different. And so I'm sure he's going to be talking about climate change, but I know he's also going to be talking about our consumption levels because the earth is so populated, so heavily populated, and everybody wants the fun things and the same things. And so we're really consuming at a rate that is higher than what the earth can produce. So again, our right relations piece of balance, we're not practicing that. We're not practicing that. We say we want some, you know, material to put in those cell phones so that we can have the next level of the Apple phone come out and make some more money. We're just going to do it. And that's why you have, like, kids in Africa that work in these horrible pits, you know, mining this material. And I don't think it's titanium, but it's another one. They're mining this material to put into our cell phones. So we need a philosophy of right relations to take over the way in which we are interacting with the earth, with nature, with the animals, and most importantly, with ourselves, with each other. And so before we can take on the global issue, before we can take on the national issue, the community issue, it starts with us as individuals, and then it starts looking at your relationships to everybody around you. So the work I did over April around Core Wound Alchemy was to say, let's expose what is usually hidden and that would keep you with an imprisoned heart. Because to practice and live right relations, you have to have a liberated heart. You have to have a liberated heart. So I talk Core Wound Alchemy, what it is, what it's not, how we do it, how we begin to do it, you know, and again, just raising that consciousness about everybody's got these core wounds, everybody's got this challenge to open up their heart, to get to the gold, to get to the treasure of, yeah, this bad thing happened, this obligatory event, but I'm not supposed to stay shut down, locked down, imprisoned by it. I'm supposed to find out, how does this provide meaning to my life? How is this really going to help me be able to be on purpose? Because that's the other thing we all come with. We all come with a purpose. And so I talked about in my last video for April, the liberated heart versus the imprisoned heart. So when your heart is liberated, meaning that you're no longer enslaved or imprisoned by the pain from the past, when you have an understanding of it, when you've done your forgiveness work, when you've done your acceptance work, when you've stepped into self-mastery, when you're ready to say, yes, I am here to serve, I'm here to use my purpose in order to serve others, in order to serve the world, then you're ready to step into right relations. So again, that's why we can understand why, especially from the immigrant process to the United States, and I'll just use, you know, it happens in other countries, definitely Africa is a great example of, you know, colonialism. But if we look at, I'm going to focus on North America. So back in the 1600s, when European settlers really come to settle, and a lot of people don't know this, but there was a lot of exploration of North America two to three centuries before the British came and set up what was called Jamestown and the ones that sailed up to what is now Massachusetts. But there was people that came earlier than that. So they were coming, again, out of fear, you know, out of fear. Really looking for more of what they could take, of what they could have. They were trying to break out of old restrictions to their culture, but they came into a culture and they had no reverence for it, so that they could pillage and rape and do whatever they want. They just dismissed and treated the First Nations people as disposable. So that's evidence that these first immigrants, first settlers, were people with imprisoned hearts. Their hearts were not liberated. And then they set about to create a whole nation, you know, set up a constitution and everything out of those imprisoned hearts, not the open hearts. So this is why it's such a challenge in the 21st century to practice right relations. But just because it's a challenge doesn't mean that you can't do it. You can do it, but you first have to become conscious of the fact that this is something that really can bring you to fulfillment, that really can bring you to your happy endings in life. So let's start with you as an individual, okay? And let's look at what right relations means. If I believe that with my liberated heart now, my liberated heart, my heart is open, I'm not believing I'm a victim to life, right? I believe the world is out to gift me, okay? So that means that I'm expecting things to come to me, things to show up for me, things to support me in my purpose, in my ability to do service. Because I expect that, then I also expect that I'm going to be reciprocal for those things coming. I'm going to be grateful, and I'm also going to do some kind of reciprocity, some kind of reciprocity. I think the most powerful form of reciprocity, when something shows up for you, whether it's materially or emotionally, physically or non-physically, I think the most powerful bit of reciprocity that you can do is to stop and take a moment to say, thank you. I receive. I really, really do. It seems a very simple thing, but it's so powerful. Those words, you know, we don't realize how very powerful our words are, but those words of thank you, I receive, it sends a vibration out to the universe that says, okay, they're able to appreciate what just happened, so we'll send some more. It actually keeps the floodgates open. It allows for the flow to come in. And right relations also is at work when something shows up that may not be what you want, may not feel like this is what you're supposed to get. But you can still be grateful for it, because when we learn what doesn't work for us, we're more able to be conscious and discerning about what does work for us. So even with that, you can say, thank you, I receive. And then the universe says, okay, they're willing to learn. Good. Now we can send them what is really theirs. And so it's so important to know that you have this ability to really have a consciousness and a perception that you are to receive, and in return that you give thanks and an acknowledgement of what you have received. This is the journey through life. This is really the journey through life. This is what will keep us moving forward. You know, when I think about someone who practices right relations, when I think about what I intend to do on a daily basis in regards to right relations, I think about, how am I being when I interact with others? So, for example, am I allaying fears or am I transferring fears? Because it's very easy to transfer your fear, very easy. And again, we live in a time where fear is just ripe. It's almost like we wake up every morning and we expect to experience something frightening. We expect to hear something frightening. We're almost numb to it. You know, I think it's one of the reasons I just love the movie Endgame, and all real storytelling, because all real storytelling will have a happy ending. Okay, real storytelling has a happy ending. The things that leave you upset and disrupted, that's not a real ending. It's just leaving you midstream. It's leaving you in that place of, oh my God. But a real story will have a happy ending, because that's how the universe works. It arcs over. It goes, you know, what goes around comes around. And so that's what I love about that movie, is because it has happy ending, and in ways you didn't expect. And we need that. You know, we need that. We need to know the truth of how the universe works. And so in right relations, that is a mindset you're operating out of. You're operating out of, no, I am not here to live in fear. I'm not here to be suffering. I'm here to have my happy endings. I'm here to get to the love. So, for example, you know, the fear stuff is so woven into our culture, especially because of how we do consumption, how our economy is set up. So, for example, I went to buy a microphone for my YouTube stream, my broadcast, and I go in and I look, I find a sample I like, and, you know, one I like, that to get it from the back, you know, and so the salesperson comes and bring it to me and say, oh, yeah, this is good, I'm ready to go. And he's like, well, you know, we have this insurance thing, and it only costs this much, but, you know, it would be so if something happens and it breaks that you'd be covered. And I think about it, I'm like, why would it break? And I was like, nah, I'm good. Well, you know, he says, it really, you know, sometimes these things really, you know, because maybe you use it a lot and it kind of runs out and then you'll need another one. But if you have this insurance, so you can get another one. And I'm like, but I'm thinking, well, why would you sell me an inferior product that I then have to pay in order to, I'm like, this is sounding really weird. And then I stopped and I said, oh, okay, he's just doing that fear thing in order to get a sale, get more money. You know, if I can frighten her into thinking that she can't manage taking care of her equipment, then I can get some more money, you know. And, of course, I'm sure, too, that's not really what he was thinking. You know, I don't think that's what they sit him down. Well, maybe they do. I don't know, in sales school. But, you know, it wasn't malicious on his part is what I'm saying. But still, it was transferring his fear about I want to make some commission onto me. And I wasn't having it. I was just clear. It's like, no, I'm not going to step into that. You know, I'm already giving a reciprocity by paying marked up because I know everything's marked up. So you're already going to get something off of this. And I'm agreeing to do that so I can have my equipment, but I'm going to be okay. It's all good. And I was very kind and polite to him. I didn't get angry, you know, because, again, like I said, he wasn't being malicious. But that's just one small example of how you can do this transference of fear onto people. That's not right relations. That's not okay. It's not okay to do that. You know, just to find another way to get some more money, but not through fear, because ultimately that fear comes back to you. See, that's the thing about right relations, too. It's about whatever I put out is what's coming back. And if I receive something and I say thank you, I receive, I acknowledge it, I do that, very small but very powerful practice, then, again, there's a balance. That means that more can come to me easily and effortlessly. Yeah. Right relations, too, again, in terms of relating to people, I ask myself, am I providing hope or am I inciting anger? Because inciting anger is very easy to do. It's very easy to figure out how to push somebody's buttons. It really is. And I enjoyed doing that when I was little because I was the baby of the family. And also I wasn't very strong. So I would do mind games on people and I could incite anger in them, you know. But again, it was childish tricks. You know, that's nothing I should be doing as an adult. I shouldn't be inciting anger. I should be providing hope. I should be providing hope and I should be supporting people and I should be loving and compassionate, not withholding love and compassion, but sharing it. Another quick story of a friend who at her job, her supervisor got reviewed by the employees in like one of those 360 kinds of performance evaluations. And the feedback wasn't very good or not good enough. And so the supervisor's boss made the supervisor apologize to the staff for those behaviors that weren't conducive to, you know, the quality of the workplace. And my friend saw how vulnerable this person had to be to do that, and, you know, and so in her compassion, after the person spoke, she said to the person and to the whole group, "I want to thank you for what you said, but I also want you to know that there's none of us that is perfect, and the fact that you were willing to stand up and the circle and to admit to the things that you need to work on, because there's things that all of us need to work on. And I just want to acknowledge you and thank you for that." And that was just such a loving thing to do, you know, just so compassionate and loving. And she was the only one that did it. You know, like everybody else was like, yeah, she's getting her just desserts. Yeah, you know, it was like, again, inciting that anger, you know. But again, so my friend that did that, I know that she will receive back some loving. And again, she wasn't doing it to brown nose or, you know, let me be the only one. It wasn't that. It was a really genuine, heartfelt, you know, let me, you know, speak a truth here. Because, again, and like, he who is out without sin, cast the first stone, you know, that's her thing. And then last but not least, I want to talk about right relations as being part of the turning of the cheek, which comes from the New Testament in regards to the stories of Jesus. And just looking for this book I have. Yeah, really cool book that I really like. It's called Your Forgotten Self in Christ. And I like this book because I think it wouldn't matter what religion you were. In reading this, it's just really, it's not like, let me convert you into become a follower of Jesus, but it's like telling a story of a very wise person, telling stories about a very wise person, the things that he did, and to understand the things that he did. And so it talks about in here about the turning of the other cheek. And this man writes that, his name is David Ord, he writes that when Jesus is saying, you know, if somebody offends you, turn the other cheek, he wasn't saying set yourself up so that they'll hit you on the other cheek or they'll keep beating on you, you know. It really wasn't him saying that. What the turning of the cheek is, he says, when somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other, because the slapping of the cheek was really a person dismissing you, saying that you're nothing, you know, get out of here. And so when you turn the other cheek, what you're doing is you're saying, no, I am something. And despite wherever you're at, whatever pain you're in, I'm not going to allow you to treat me like I don't matter and that I don't exist. You know, it's similar to if there are any MCU fans out there and you've watched Captain America, Winter Soldier. There's the scene where Captain America and his friend Bucky, who's now this assassin who's been brainwashed, and they have this big fight, you know, and Bucky is winning at one point. He's really beating on Captain America. And Captain America says to him, I can do this all day, which he had said when they were children together. And it's like, that's what he was saying. It's like, you know, I'm not going to let you just forget that I am your friend and I really do love you. And if this is what it takes for me to connect with you, this is what I'm going to do. Right relations. Right relations is remembering the truth of who you are in the face of somebody else's insanity, in the face of somebody else's pain, in the face of somebody who isn't able to do right relations. Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. I'm going to stop now because I think this is a good place to stop. Personal challenge. I would just like you to think about right relations. And I would like you to think about where in your life right now are you able to do right relations, where you're able to do a reciprocity. How's that showing up for you? Where is it that you are allaying fears and providing hope and sharing love and compassion? Where are you doing right relations? Think about that. So as I close out tonight, I want to first of all thank my wonderful engineer who so selflessly hooked me up to the radio broadcast as she is having her Mother's Day dinner out of the restaurant because she can do it over her phone. Thank you so much, Ms. Yvette Parker, and happy Mother's Day to you. And again, blessings for your Ramadan season as you continue with that. Just really great. To all my regular listeners out there, to Ms. Sarah, happy Mother's Day. And I'm so grateful for you in my life, Ms. Sarah, and for all the loving support that you give me so easily and effortlessly. Thank you. I receive. To all those who have wisdom walk with me before and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, and those who may be listening or watching for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without your listenership and your watching. Now, next week, I'll continue right relations, but I'm going to talk about the when and the how. The when and the how. So that how do we get this ancient wisdom, this ancient practice that sustained the culture for over 4,000 years, how do we grow that into the 21st century culture? Wouldn't that be something? I also want to, again, just remind you about my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, and again, my YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. But last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous Mineral Week coming up, devoted on your purpose, aligning with your purpose so that you can always remember the real truth, which is that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.